everyone. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Today, we are going to talk about many, not all, but many of the horror books we read in 2023. Hopefully make some recommendations for you. And we were actually, just before we started recording, we were talking about some plans for 2024. As some of you may know, as part of our Patreon, we have a Discord, a small Discord that's just for our patrons. And we have a book club on there. And so a lot of books... Shush, shush. Kathy and I are members of that book club.
It's
fun. We read about a book a month, book every 5 weeks throughout the year, horror, every now and then a thriller, but mostly horror. So if you want to participate in that, you know, it's $5 a month to be a patron. Then you just join our Discord and it's a lot of fun. But a lot of these books we read together, and then a few of the books we did not read together. So we're going to talk about those. And we were excited. We were just talking about 2024 because we're doing a bonus read over the holidays. And it's a Krampus and short story book. And I pick a short novel for every holiday period, meaning the weeks over Christmas and New Year's, to do a bonus read. And I usually pick an indie author. And so we're doing one this year. And actually, we're going to start off by talking about the one that I picked last year, because it ended up being one of Kathy's favorites.
Yes.
Yes. Please tell us. Please share with the audience your favorite book.
I love this movie. I love this book so much. Actually, it would be a fun movie.
Yeah, it would be.
All right. So I will read you all the paragraph synopsis of this literature.
Nice.
Disco Death Trap Year of Blood.
Not like that.
I mean,
although we did have one book club member that did not like this book. In fact, they DNF'd it, crazily enough. But
who?
Blue.
You know what, Blue? We're going to have a conversation the next time we have a conversation. Cameron Robeek, I think is how you say their name. This book is so much fun. First of all, the cover is all animation, and you just see these kids' legs and like tube socks and roller skates in a pool of blood and a disco ball with a skull in it hanging above. So it's New Year's Eve, 1980. You already have me right there.
Mm-hmm.
And the students of D'Angelo High School are lacing up their skates for the all-night New Year's lock-in at the Rollerville Roller Disco. Some of them just want to skate and dance the night away to pounding disco music. Some want to pull a few pranks and have a few laughs. For others, like Dan Parsons. Oh, I miss Dan. Mm-hmm. Tonight is a chance to move on and forget about his ex-girlfriend. Maybe even flirt with Denise, that cute girl behind the snack counter. It seems like nothing can go wrong, but there's a massive blizzard raging outside. Thick snow and ice are piling up against all the doors. There are those rumors that Rollerville was built over part of the old graveyard next door, and someone out there is watching. Also, a strange homeless man in the parking lot says that tonight will be the start of the so-called Year of Blood. A night of skating and New Year's fun is about to turn into a night of violence and bloody mayhem in Disco Death Trap. Obviously, you know, it's just fun, but I also think the author created such an amazing atmosphere, because you have this snowed-in roller rink where inside it's all warm and cozy, and the people are eating and drinking and skating and hooking up. But all the while, there's this whole other thing about to happen.
Yes.
That at the turn of midnight, you know, we just, the whole book changes.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamie Kennedy says in Scream, everybody's a suspect. And it is so clever, and I couldn't put it down. I just had so much fun with this book.
It's a fast read. I had chosen it because when I was, you know, spending hours looking, I do spend quite a bit of time looking for the bonus read. So, because it has to fit like a match with the holiday season, kind of, and it has to be like not completely reviled. Like, people have to not completely hate it. I do want people to say like it's not bad. I don't want to waste my time necessarily. So I need some good reviews. I need the time period. But I also, when I came upon that book, it's because I had read one of his, I had read Kill River.
I have those in my cart, by the way, his other ones.
Oh, good. Yeah, I have Kill River 2 to read, which I haven't read yet. Maybe I'll read it this year. But I had read Kill River as our very first book in book club. One of our members at the time had suggested that. So I had read that book and I just I remember it dawning on me. I'm like, oh my God, this is the first. I'm like, well, this will be fun. You know, he's a plot driven writer. So it moves fast and it's fun. So I'm really glad you liked it.
Oh, so much fun.
By the way, I did notice the Goodreads, you know, the Goodreads winners, you know, Goodreads Choice Award winners came out. And I don't know if you vote in those, but I do.
No.
And throughout this year, we actually ended up reading 4 of the nominees in the horror category. We actually ended up reading this year.
Well, how many? Sorry.
4.
Oh, wow.
How to Sell a Haunted House. Mm-hmm. Vampires of El Norte.
Yeah.
Jennifer McMahon's My Darling Girl.
Good.
And Dead 11. All 4 of those were in the nominated. Now, 4, 8, 12, 16, 20. There's 20 in the nominees, 20 books. So that's a lot of books.
Yeah.
And then Stephen King's Holly, his book Holly is the one that won. You know, they have how many, you can go on there, they have how many votes. How to Sell a Haunted House was like 3rd, I think. Or no, it was 2nd, actually, in all the voting. So
okay.
It was like 30,000 votes off. It's not like it was a close vote, but that was 2. And Vampires of El Norte was up there. And so was My Darling Girl. Like, those books were, 3 of our books were like in the top 6 kind of thing.
That's cool.
Yeah, Dead 11 was last in the voting. So,
well,
that's probably
sense.
Commiserate with what we thought of it too. So
I have a question to ask.
Yeah.
Can I open a beverage?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. There you go.
What are you drinking?
This is, these are so good. They're lime ginger sparkling waters made by Nixie.
Okay.
And if you are someone who likes ginger ale, but you don't want all the sugar and all, it's so good.
Is it like a Trader Joe's thing?
No, you can find these at Whole Foods, okay. Ralph's, Kroger, any mark, but Nixie is the brand, Nixie. They also do a strawberry hibiscus, which is really good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kathy and I are big fans of the sparkling water with the 0 calories.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about Vampires of El Norte. We actually just read this recently. Vampires and Vaqueros face off on the Texas-Mexico border in the supernatural Western from the author of The Hacienda. Some of you may have read her other book. This is by Isabel Cañas. As the daughter of a rancher in 1840s Mexico, Nina knows a thing or two about monsters. Her home has long been threatened by tensions with Anglo settlers from the north, but something more sinister lurks near the ranch at night, something that drains men of their blood and leaves them for dead. So this is a very good book. You have to not mind a romance in your horror. I would say that this romance is written really well. It didn't bother me as a romance. I don't mind romance in books, especially.
And I don't care for it. I don't care for romance in books, but it worked in this one.
I'm glad. So yeah. that's a testament from Kathy, who generally doesn't like when there's a romance component to it. I don't mind it. I actually read romance books as well.
She reads the ones with Fabio on the cover that buy at the market in the card section. Yeah,
that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't, but I like that.
She's on several covers.
I actually like that for me if I did. But this is more of a written more like an epic romance, more like a classic romance. So if you have an English degree or you like read all the classics back in the day, it reads more like one of those kind of romances. Fate, you know, is not in the cards, male and female from, you know, warring factions kind of thing, like where star-crossed lovers type of deal. But there's creatures. So it's not a ton of horror. There's not like, it's not a slasher like Disco Death Trap. There's not a lot of gore, none of that. It's definitely a story that builds to an end that's got a horror element to it.
It is highly, I mean, you can read it as a straight horror novel and it's great that way because the creatures are awesome.
Mm-hmm,
but it also has, there's so many metaphors and it's political, but not in a knock you over the head. I don't want to read a book on politics right now, but there are political elements undertones that I mm-hmm. think are highly effective told through this story.
Yeah, the culture, the politics, yeah. all mm-hmm. of that is explicated in there, and it's really interesting. And I'm not surprised it's second, because I think a lot of these wars win on name recognition, so King is often going to win, because people who aren't actually reading those books are going to vote for King because they know him. They know the name, so they're right. going to click vote. So I'm not saying he didn't deserve to win. I love Stephen King. But because it's number two, that tells me that it was probably number one in the horror genre in many ways. Because,
yeah.
you know, it's not that she's not a known author. She very much is. But anyway, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the read.
I did too.
Yeah.
It was good. I'm going to talk about a book I read outside of the Discord called Summer of Night by Dan Simmons. It's a pretty long book. Mm-hmm. He's heavily influenced by Stephen King. He self-admittedly, so his books are are long and have similar themes. So it's the summer of 1960, and in the small town of Elm Haven, Illinois, five 12-year-old boys are forging the powerful bonds that a lifetime of change will not break. From sunset bike rides to shaded hiding places in the woods, the boys' days are marked all by all of the secrets and silences of an idyllic middle childhood. But amid the sun-drenched cornfields, their loyalty will be pitilessly tested. When a long, silent bell peals in the middle of the night, the townsfolk know it marks the end of their carefree days. From the depths of the old central school, a hulking fortress tinged with the mahogany scent of coffins, an invisible evil is rising. Strange and horrifying events begin to overtake everyday life, spreading terror through the once idyllic town. Determined to exorcise this ancient plague, Mike, Dwayne, Dale, Harlan, and Kevin must wage a war of blood against an arcane abomination who owns the night.
Wow. Can you give me the title again?
It's called Summer of Night by nice. Dan Simmons.
What do you think?
I loved this book. Because we're always reading so many books at once, it took me a while to get through it because it's over 400 pages. Mm-hmm. But
that's nice, though. You sink in, you know?
You go on this story. You know, it has a Stand By Me feel. It has a supernatural feel. It has a history feel. You know, this town has so much history. And they take it to places where it's so clever. And these boys, just all of us remember being, well, many of us remember being kids and having that small group of really good friends that got into mischief together and saw one another, you know, lose family members, lose pets, lose ourselves in bad shit, all of that.
The arc of life.
The arc of life. And so in the midst of all this, life is happening. And then they're trying to decipher whether some of it is due to these forces. Mm. And then, you know, there's some... alluding to, like, you know, abusive situations. And it's not about child abuse. That's not overt. But I'm saying, like, there's all these other unfortunate things. A couple of the kids don't come from a lot of money, where then there's the one kid who's privileged and kind of aware that, you know, one of his friends has it really hard at home. And so you really get to know these boys. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a heart for them. And then they're really funny because they're, you know, middle school boys talking shit to each other and all that. So it has that, if you like that Stephen King, It or Stand By Me feel,
mm-hmm. I do.
I really liked this book a lot.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, Dan Simmons is really prolific and famous and fabulous. And I have the book, The Terror is a very famous book of his. I have that on Audible, and it's been in my Audible for a while, but it's like 26 hours long or something.
Yeah.
And I've been wanting to read it, though, because I got that recommendation from someone else to say, oh, you got to read Dan Simmons' The Terror. So now this one's on my list as well. I guess I better get to Dan Simmons. And the book you're talking about, so number one in a series, it looks like.
It is. So I was about to say there is a second one that I haven't yet to read because they are quite long, but it's a series.
Awesome. I also wanted to talk about My Darling Girls, which we also recently read in the book club. And I enjoyed this book. We were a little bit divisive, I think, in our book club, but I think most of us liked it.
I liked it.
Yeah, I did as well. Yeah, no, you and I weren't divisive.
Yeah.
But others disagreed.
Like, to be clear, I thought it was really fun.
I thought it was a lot of fun. So I had suggested this book for book club. The way we run our book club is that each of the active members put up a book each time we're going to have a new book, and then we put it into a poll and we vote. And so everybody gets a chance to like throw their hat in the ring. This just happened to be my pick. And the reason why, honestly, I picked it is because we read one of her other books. Jennifer McMahon wrote a book called The Invited, and we read that last year in book club. And I actually won a copy of an ARC copy of My Darling Girl on Goodreads. So I've had this book for a while. And unfortunately, I was not able to read it and provide a review, because that's, of course, why ARCs get sent out, is they want those early reviews. But I have now since read it and reviewed it, and I really enjoyed it. It's a straightforward contemporary horror book. So it's like Vampires of El Norte is period piece and also a different culture than my own. So that was interesting in that way. My Darling Girl is contemporary. It's in any neighborhood that any of us might live in America. It's relatable in that way. And it's straightforward, and I thought it was well done. And I do definitely now, since I've read two of her books, think she's a good writer.
I think so too.
Yeah, I would read other things just because it's her, you know, when you have those authors. So
yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. I'm glad you liked it, because it, like you and I had talked about with the group, you know, it wasn't the most profound book.
No.
But it doesn't always need to be. Sometimes you just want it to be.
And it depends too, right? Yeah. It depends on your experiences. Like there's a dying mother in there. There's an abusive mother in there. There's a teenage brat. There's a, you know, there's all kinds of different things that you could have emotion about, but it's not about that. It's definitely about, it's plot driven for sure.
For sure. Yeah. And you can also walk away with it really projecting what you believe she really experienced. So,
absolutely.
You know, it you can make it as deep as you want to make it.
You bet. And that's a good book, because you can take it from the surface and just say, this was a good book and I enjoyed the ride, or you can take it deeper if you like to do that. So,
So I just want to mention that we read Jaws, Peter Benchley's novel from 1974. And although, you know, most people know the synopsis, just real quickly, the story set in Amityville, which is a fictional seaside resort town on the south shore of Long Island, New York, within the Hamptons region. The novel places it's halfway between Bridgehampton and East Hampton. One night, a massive great white shark kills a young tourist named Christine Watkins while she skinny dips in the open waters after she and a man make love on the beach. That's how you know it's the 70s, because they say make love. After finding the partially eaten remains of her body washed up on the beach, investigators realized she was attacked by a shark.
Yep.
Amity Police Chief Martin Brody orders the beaches closed, but Mayor Larry Vaughn and the town's selectmen overrule him out of fear for damage to summer tourism, Amity's main industry. With the convenience of Harry Meadows, the editor of the local newspaper, they hush up the attack. Obviously, I love this movie because I'm a huge Spielberg fan, and I felt like he did such a great job with it, but I had not yet ever read the novel, and I just loved this book. It was one of my favorite books we read all year because how descriptive it was and how much further it goes into the storytelling around the characters. It's way more character-driven than the movie, because obviously the movie, you know, it's about the anticipatory bloodshed of this great white, and Spielberg still, he always does a good job with characters, even if they're not the central focus. I still think he did a really good job with building character arcs, but the book goes so much further in, and it was one of those books that made me feel like I was in the story when I was reading it.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it's, for me, it's up there with The Exorcist as far as books that have been turned into movies as being one of the best I've read.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Jaws was great. Plot driven. It brought in a lot of character and culture that you don't get in the movie. Both are great. Movie's great. Book's great. Do yourself a favor. Add it to your TBR if you haven't read it. A lot of these classics. We try to make our way through some of the classics each year in the book club. Inevitably, people throw those up as options, and then sometimes we're in the mood for that, and everybody votes for it. So we have been able to get through, I think that was one this year. I think that might have been our only
like movie one.
Yeah, I think it's our only really old one from this year. The year prior, we did more. This year, we did more new, which is nice. I like to be kind of on the cutting edge,
Because we did Exorcist and Rosemary's Baby last year.
Yeah. So, but we usually get in one or two every year, so that's cool. You know, I read Stephen King's If It Bleeds, which is an anthology book. Not super into it. I liked the story that the movie was made out of. But it was not my favorite anthology of his. There's better ones. And he writes so many of them that there's so much Stephen King to read. If you want to put that at the more towards the bottom of your list, I would definitely do that.
Okay.
I also read a couple of true crimes. I read Hell's Half Acre. I read People Who Eat Darkness, which we did a whole episode on. I really loved that book. That's an excellent true crime book. Did not like Hell's Half Acre as much.
Okay.
One of our patrons, we kind of do, just her and I really, we do a true crime reads, and we managed to get through two this year. It's not a super priority, but maybe we'll get through more next year. And I also wanted to mention that I try to read memoirs. And I usually read way more than I read this year, but I think I just kind of took a little bit of a break. But I did manage to get in James Corden's memoir, which was pretty great. I listened to it on Audible, and it's just really interesting. He's a funny guy, interesting to hear his stories. But the one I really liked was Matthew Perry's. And it turns out, of course, that he died this year, but I read this well before his death. And it made his death way more awful for me because I was really invested and knowledgeable about his story. But I would like to encourage anyone who hasn't done it to actually get the Audible of it, because it's him reading the book. And for posterity's sake, he's obviously was a very funny guy, and telling his story is very poignant and thoughtful and lovely, and also hilarious. He tells all the stories from Friends. He's got all kinds of good stuff in there. So I would highly recommend it too.
I've heard really good things about that book. Yeah. So I I read a book bought by Paul Tremblay called Head Full of Ghosts. And this was winner of the 2015 Bram Stoker Award for Superior Achievement in a Novel. I know that he gets a lot of really positive feedback from Stephen King as well, who thinks his books are pretty great. And I thought this book was pretty great. And not because the family's last name is Barrett.
Oh, but it helped.
Right. So the lives of the Barretts, a normal suburban New England family, are torn apart when 14-year-old Marjorie begins to display signs of acute schizophrenia. To her parents' despair, the doctors aren't able to stop Marjorie's descent into madness. As their stable home devolves into a house of horrors, they reluctantly turn to a local Catholic priest for help. Now this really does sound like my family. Father Wanderley suggests an exorcism. He believes the vulnerable teenager is the victim of demonic possession. He also contacts a production company that is eager to document the Barretts' plight. With John, Marjorie's father, out of work for more than a year and the medical bills looming, the family agrees to be filmed and soon find themselves the unwitting stars of The Possession, a hit reality television show. When events in the Barrett household explode in tragedy, the show and shocking incidents it captures become the stuff of urban legend. 15 years later, they do an interview on those events. There's someone that plays a good journalist who's writing a story and comes back and interviews the younger sister. And it's sort of told through her narrative. It's really kind of a crazy, cool ride. So obviously there's some really light elements in there, but then you get the possession elements in there and how it's mixed in with like filming a reality show. So it's all the feels. You get some of the humor, you get the suspense, you get the terror, and then, you know, you're trying to figure out whether this person's just feeding you shit, or do you actually find out by the end what really caused all of this to happen? So, yeah.
I read that book last year.
Okay.
And I loved it. It was definitely one of my top ones from last year. And I think I may have talked about it on the show at one point or another. I think last year we were obviously regularly talking about movies and books every week. So I loved it. I won't say too much about it, just like you did, because there's a lot of twists and turns and a lot of things that you find out. And I would just highly recommend it.
It's fun. There are parts of it just make you laugh.
It's a great book.
Yeah.
And he's a great writer.
He really is.
He's probably top 10 writing in horror right now. He's really great.
Stephen King will let you know that. He said some really cool things about him.
And I respect King's opinion. He's been doing the shit for a long, long time.
Yeah.
The only other horror one that I'm going to mention is that over the last 3 years, I've managed to make it 3 books through Darcy Coates's.
Oh, you're still going. Series. I got Shannon started on her and now she's going.
Well, it's like the first year we read a book for book club, Voices in the Snow, and it was the first in a series, I think of like 4 books or something.
Yeah.
And that was a kick-ass book. I really liked the first one.
Yeah.
And then the second one I read last year. So 2 years ago, we read Voices in the Snow. Last year, I read the second one, which I don't remember the name of it. And then this year I read Whispers in the Mist, and it's some kind of like masochistic journey because here's the thing about these books, and I want to read more Darcy Coates, and I own several of the ones that are sort of smaller, and I'm imagining that this is what I've read a lot of. First of all, she's super prolific, so there's 4 billion books to read. So if you don't like one, read a different one because there's so many different kind of tropes, like haunted house stuff.
I like the
stuff.
World she builds.
Yeah. And I loved that the first book so much. And then there's always something in each book that keeps me coming back for more. It's the Black Winter series. And the third one is called Whispers in the Mist. Now, it took me a really long time to get through it because it's pretty beefy. And this one is rated really highly. I would not rate it as highly as others have. Here's my issue with it. I love the creatures in this series.
Yeah.
Like,
they are cool.
Love them. And I love creatures. I love creatures in movies. I love them in books. That's like one of my top 3 sub pieces of this is I want some creatures. The creatures are amazing. The lore behind the creatures, the reason why they are the way they are. And throughout this series, you learn more and more and more about how they're made and how they exist and what they do and what they don't do. And all of that is super, super interesting. Except for here's the thing. The books are so thick. And a lot of times, I do also like that she writes in short chapters so you can zoom along if you want. But my God, the middle of these books is just like
you've always said that
it's like we're down another street with another house and another thing.
What was the book we read a few years back where the guy was falling out of a tree for like 20 pages and I'm like, he's still falling.
This is like we're traveling down the road for 15 chapters. It's like, I don't care.
Now we're at the next stop sign. I remember the one that we read together where like they were out in the car. Yeah.
Yeah, the second one.
The winter one. And it was
the same way. We're down the road again.
See, and this series was the series I introduced y'all to Darcy Coates, but her books that aren't series that are like just one and dones, she doesn't do that.
No, of course not. Then they're much smaller and stuff. And I also know what I've read about her now as well, because I read about these authors and I read a lot of reviews and I sort of try to get a vibe of like what they do well and what people love about them. And everybody loves the haunted house ones she does. So that's what I got to do. And I think that's the one you first read was a haunted house one. And then you were like, oh, I love this writer. We should read another book by her. And honestly, that first book that we read for book club, I loved that book. I thought it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Yep. I'm going to keep trying.
Awesome.
Yeah. I did get through number 3. I can't guarantee number 4.
Oh, man, I commend you. I'm saluting her right now.
But it's like for 2004, maybe I should read the 4th one and then we'll be done.
I absolutely loved Christina Henry's version of Alice. Alice in Wonderland is already kind of a messy, funny trip. But Christina Henry takes her novels. The other one we read, I liked both of them. The Legend of Sleepy Hollow one. Do you remember what it was called?
Mm-hmm. I'll find it.
Okay. So this one was called Alice. The cover is the rabbit with a bloody eye. In a warren of crumbling buildings and desperate people called the Old City, there stands a hospital with cinder block walls which echo the screams of the poor souls inside. In the hospital, there's a woman. Her hair, once blonde, hangs in tangles down her back. She doesn't remember why she's in such a terrible place. Just a tea party long ago and long ears and blood. Then one night, a fire at the hospital gives a woman a chance to escape, tumbling out out of the hole that imprisoned her, leaving her free to uncover the truth about what happened to her all those years ago. Only something else has escaped with her, something dark, something powerful. And to find the truth, she will have to track this beast to the very heart of the old city, where the rabbit awaits for his Alice. Man, this book was so good.
It was brutal.
It's so, it really is. I mean, folks, let me tell you, it's not the feel-good book of the year. There's torture, torment, sexual assault, psychopathy. I mean, all the things. It's violent, but it's told in such a palatable way that you can't help but like, oh my God, I want to read more.
Yeah. And there's more to that series. Like, she does The Red Queen is the second book, which I haven't read yet. And then the other one, we read both these books. There's a member of our book club that always puts these books up.
And they're all good.
Christina Henry, we've read two, Alice, and the other one was Horseman.
Horseman. Thank you.
Horseman.
Yeah. Oh, Horseman.
A Tale of Sleepy Hollow is what it's called. And that's by Christina Henry.
Good stuff.
Yeah. And then there's a psych book you wanted to mention. And yeah, then we'll be
I just want to real quickly give, I know that we talk a lot about narcissism on the show. So this is not a horror book, although it can feel that way if you are a survivor of narcissistic abuse. I had the honor of reading this ahead of time, was given a copy by my colleague, Dr. Ramani Dervasala, has a book coming out. You can pre-order it right now. It's called It's Not You, Identifying and Healing from Narcissistic People. I just finished it, folks. I think it's available. It's available February 20th. So for those folks who want more information, maybe they're in that next step in their healing, the book is essentially drawing on more than two decades of studying the landscape of narcissism and working with survivors. Dr. Ramani explores how narcissists hijack our well-being and offers a healing path forward, unpacking the often misunderstood personality. She reveals the telltale behavioral patterns that indicate you may be dealing with a narcissist. Along the way, you'll learn how to become gaslight resistant, chip away at the trauma bonds that keep you stuck in the cycle, grieve the loss of these painful relationships, create and maintain realistic boundaries, discern unhelpful behaviors from narcissistic behaviors, and recover your sense of self after constant invalidation. Why I love this book so much is there are so many books out there that talk about the narcissist. And although this does that, it actually focuses much more on the healing component. And when I read this, my first feedback to her was, I wish I would have had this when I was going through mine. And not everyone can afford therapy, and not that books are ever a substitute for therapy, but this will help people quite a bit if they're in that stage of knowing what happened, but now not really knowing how to move forward. I highly recommend it.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Awesome. And congratulations to Dr. Ramani for her newest book. That's it, guys. I hope you got some recommendations from this, some things to read. We would love to hear from you and what you've read this year and what you love. I've been starting to already look at lists for 2024. I'm pretty excited to read some different things. I know that T. Kingfisher is going to have a new one out. I know that Stephen Graham Jones, one of my favorite new authors, is going to have a new one out. Christina Henry is going to have a new one out called The House That Horror Built. Ooh. There's just a bunch of authors that I already like that are going to have books out. I'm excited for that. And then I'm sure we'll discover some new ones along the way. I also know Stephen Graham Jones is doing a couple of different books. He's doing the third book in the Indian Lake trilogy series. The third one's called The Angel of Indian Lake. And then I also know he's coming out one called I Was a Teenage Slasher.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I think is, might be an older one of his, but it's not, it's probably not. I'm speaking out of turn. I just know that's kind of going to come out this year as well from what I was reading. Mm-hmm. But I mean, things can change, of course. I'm just excited about the year in reading, and let's get to it. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Tarot Talk. My name is Shannon.
And I'm Kathy. Sleep safe, everyone.